صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال الله تعالى: ومن يتق الله يجعل له من امره يسرا صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد للہ، اور فضل کرم ان احسان اف اللہ تعالیٰ، اللہ رب العزت has allowed for us to sit in his house to make some مذاکرہ of some aspect of this beautiful deen of اللہ تعالیٰ. Sometimes when it comes to this part of the year, some people call it silly season, some people call it all different terms for it, and we become so busy. So much of businesses are busy, Allah Ta'ala give barakat, roads get busy, everything starts happening. So once it was Ramadan Sharif, and Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, as my Fateh Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to normally have a program on Sunday after Zuhr Salah. Like it happens in many masajid, ulama have programs in Ramadan Sharif on a Sunday. So Hazrat used to have this program, and that particular year now it happened to be December. So some people had approached Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali and they told him that Hazrat, December people's shops are open. Rather don't have this program now after Zohar. Hardly anybody gonna come for the program. So Hazrat mentioned a beautiful thing. He said, if everybody else is keeping their shop open, why we must close our shop? We too have to keep our shop open. So our dini kaam that will continue, our obligation to Allah Ta'ala that must continue, no matter what time it is, no matter when it is. It's our kamzori, our weakness, that sometimes when the shop is quiet, then we go read salah with jamaat. When the shop get busy, now for example, what a person normally does for the whole day, now it gets done in 2 hours, 3 hours. But then he doesn't go for salah with jamaat. So the shukr he's showing to Allah Ta'ala for making his shop busy is he doesn't go for namaz. Normally whole year he's going, making it for jamaat, zuhr salah, asr salah, whatever it may be. But now he's getting busy, and when he gets busy, it doesn't go. Whereas Allah Pak gave him that rozi which takes him the whole day to make, Allah gave him in the first couple of hours. So we must always keep our deen in front. Our first obligation is to Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our deen. Whatever the condition may be, that must always be in front of us. So these ayat, Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that the person who fears Allah Ta'ala. Now obviously if a person is fearing Allah Ta'ala, then he's going to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. So with regards to this word taqwa, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always mention that there are many words in our deen, terminology of the Quran Sharif, which in the English language you cannot find any single word that can translate it correctly. A reason being, they don't have these concepts in their life. These dini concepts, which these sifat, which Allah Pak wants us to inculcate, they don't have it in their life. So they got no word for it. So when it comes to taqwa, So it is translated as the fear of Allah. But Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that this fear of Allah Ta'ala, when we talk about fearing Allah Ta'ala, so it is not a fear like a person has for some enemy or some predatory animal, etc. It's not that kind of a fear. It is a fear that is born out of love. That when somebody is so good to me, somebody is merciful to me, tolerant towards me, somebody is giving me so much without me being deserving, so I'm afraid of displeasing that person. So like that, Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats are raining upon us every moment of the day and night. So I am afraid of displeasing Allah Ta'ala. That is where we're supposed to get. We're supposed to come there, that I've got such a relationship of love with Allah Ta'ala that I don't want to displease Allah Ta'ala. This love is an ajeeb thing. Love is such a strong quality, you know. It's a very strong quality. I was explaining to a few brothers earlier on that one elderly lady, so her husband passed on some years ago, and she's been living a life of a widow, which is not an easy life. And recently, somebody proposed for her. Also elderly person, his wife passed away, so he's also lonely. Couple years ago, now his wife passed away, so he now decided to settle down and he proposed for her. So she was thinking about it, making istikhara, giving it some thought. Family may have been encouraging her that you rather settle down, whatever. So eventually, she said that, see, I really want to be with my first husband in Jannat. So I want to be with him. So I'm going to turn down this proposal. Now love is a thing like that. So long she is single, husband passed away long time ago. So many years she took out like this as a widow. And now she's getting a proposal. But the love that she has for that husband, she's not prepared to get married to anybody else. Not that there's anything wrong if somebody gets married. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The ladies, sometimes they get worried about this. That now if I get married, then which husband I'm going to be with in Jannat? So the ulama, they explain, some ulama have preferred the view that the lady will be with the last husband that she has in the dunya. And other ulama have mentioned that the lady will be given a choice. She will be given a choice which husband she wants to be with. So that now is discussion. They have got their dalail, etc. But I know now, normally when you mention something like this, then you get a lot of questions after that. That which husband now I'll be with in Jannat. But they can't tell the husband that story. Then they ask some Maulana or something, this story. But I'm just talking about this aspect of love. When a person has got love, so this fear for Allah Ta'ala is born out of love. And that's the relationship that we want to inculcate. A relationship of love. Not a relationship of like just beauty, you know. I just have to do this, otherwise I'm going Jahannam. I have to do that, otherwise that azab is going to come. And I need that sawab, so I want to do this. That is part of deen. But when the relationship with Allah Ta'ala will become one of love, then the road will be very different. The road will become very different. In the words of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Daun Barakatuh, he says, "Phir ye rasta sirf aasan nahi hoga, balki mazedar ho jayega." He said that this road then will not just become easy, rather it will become enjoyable, because now there is love. Now there is love. Now a person is doing it out of love. Everything he is doing in his deen is out of love. So If a person doesn't have that love as yet, then at least the fear of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala must drive us. The fear that now if I don't do this, then Allah's azab will be on me. Allah will get angry with me. How am I going to face Allah Pak on the day of Qiyamah? What's going to happen in Jahannam, etc. So at least that must drive a person. But that is not the desired place that a person wants to be. He wants to progress and develop love for Allah Ta'ala. So this fear, when you talk about taqwa, so Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that it is a fear that is born out of love for Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala is showering me with so much. How can I now displease Allah Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala says that the person who has got this taqwa, so obviously now this would be what we will term as a pious person. A pious person. Because he fears Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't want to break Allah's command. He's carrying out whatever Allah Ta'ala wants him to do. He's carrying it out. So Allah Ta'ala says that if a person is living his life like that, then وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, then Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him. Whatever his difficulty may be, his parashani, his problem, Allah will find a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and Allah Ta'ala will sustain him, Allah Ta'ala will give him rosy from avenues that he didn't think of. Most unexpected, not expecting a risk to come from that avenue, Allah Ta'ala will give it to him. A few verses down, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, that the person who fears Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will grant ease in all his matters. He will be granted ease. So in other words, not only the akhirat, even his dunyavi life, Allah Ta'ala will take care of him, Allah will take care of his rozi, Allah Ta'ala, any difficulty he's got, Allah will find a way out for him. Sometime Allah Ta'ala will test. A person will go through some test, he'll be worried about something. But just when he thinks now, which way I must turn, Allah Ta'ala will open something up. Allah Ta'ala will sort it out. Just when he thinks now, I don't know where I'm going to go now, what's going to happen? Right? A person has to meet that. In the old days, there was checks. Right? Now no more checks. In those days now, the person will make out a check, gave it to the supplier. Right? Now the check is for the 15th or the 20th or whatever. And I has to make that check. So many people, they tell you now, the check is for the 15th, 13th, he's still scratching his head now. How am I going to make this thing now? 14th. And all of a sudden, 14th or 15th, Allah Ta'ala gives him the money. And he can meet that commitment. Because he was sincere. He wants to meet the commitment. He doesn't want to do anybody down. He wants to pay. He wants to meet the commitment. So Allah Ta'ala opens the way for him. So Allah will take care of his dunya. Whatever his difficulty, whatever his problem, Allah will give him rosy. Allah Ta'ala will find ease for him in all his matters. Right? Now this is for a person who is living a life of taqwa. Right? But now, we as humans, we have a nafs. Our body is made from the earth. Right? Who we really are is a celestial that came from top, our ruh. The soul, that is who we really are. When a woman conceives, at that time there is no ruh, there is no soul. The lady conceives, there is a drop of blood which becomes a lump of flesh. Doctors till today are amazed how Allah Ta'ala explained all of this in the Quran Sharif. The different stages that goes through for the child to be born. That at that time there was no scans and no all this equipment and everything. But Allah Ta'ala is Allah. Allah put the system in place. So who better to describe it? Later on they came and they think now they got this scan, that scan. They can now monitor the whole development. They say, but this is exactly what is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So this is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, and in the Quran Sharif, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains in the Hadith Sharif, that now this, after so many days, this happens, that happens, then eventually Allah Ta'ala sends the ruh. And the ruh is put into that fetus now. Right? Now this fetus becomes valuable. Now it's got a life now. So this ruh is not from the dunya. The ruh is not from the dunya. The ruh is from Allah Ta'ala. That's coming from divine. It's not made here in the dunya. So in the body now, you got a body that is made from the world. It's made from clay. In this body, you have the ruh, which is something that's coming from Allah Ta'ala. It's got nothing to do with this dunya. But then also Allah Ta'ala puts a nafs. Because this body has to go through the world. And in order to go through the world, it requires a nafs. If there's no nafs, right, if there's no nafs, a person won't eat. He won't drink. He won't sleep. He won't marry. If there's no nafs. So you need a nafs. Without a nafs, like a motor car, it needs an accelerator. Without the accelerator, it's useless. But that doesn't mean that you have to put the accelerator right down all the time. You put the accelerator right down all the time is destruction. And if you're just driving 20 all the time, that too is destruction. Everybody will be taking off with you, you'll cause accidents on the road. So slow you're driving. So you got to find some balance. So this nafs is like that. It's beneficial, you have to have it. If you don't have a nafs, there won't be any anger. Somebody will interfere with your wife too, you won't get angry. What kind of a person is that? So there has to be a nafs, right? The nafs is what makes it possible to go through the world. But Allah Ta'ala has left it to us now to train this nafs. This nafs inherently, it wants to go towards evil. Right? Allah Ta'ala mentions with regards to the nafs in the Quran Sharif, Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. Right? In the words of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that this nafs, it wants to command a person, instruct a person towards evil. Right? When Azmaiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was explaining that inherently the nafs goes towards evil. Right? The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they are different. They are masoom. Allah Ta'ala has kept them sinless. But everybody else, you'll find the nafs wants to go towards evil. So Azhar Rahmatullah Ali explained, he says, see, take two small children, eh? Small children, 2-year-old, they say terrible twos and all that. They take two-year-olds and give one a sweet. Don't give the other one. Just give one a sweet. Or give one toy or something. And now you see that tamasha. Who taught them to fight? Who taught them to be greedy? The one wants the other one's sweet. The one who got the sweet, you don't think, all right, let me break half and share. And if he got some angelic quality, his father or mother tell him, no, give that child half. That child said, no, I want the whole thing. I don't want half. I want the whole thing. Now who taught them this? To be greedy, to be stingy, to be selfish, throw a tantrum. When the children are growing up sometime, they can put you in embarrassing situations. You go sometime to visit somewhere. Now that child saw that other the house person got one toy. Now your child is crying for that toy. It's time to leave now. They're playing with the toy whole time. Now the child is crying for the toy. Now you saying, oh, you can't take that. That child is crying, you leave my toy. Your child is crying, wants the toy. And the house person is saying, no, let him take it, let him take it. Inside must be saying something else. They can put you in embarrassing situation. So if the islah is not made of that nafs, then we grow up like that. You see the people, now they've gone big now. They've got property portfolios, they're both fighting for that property. This one is not thinking, never mind, let him have it. That one is not thinking, all right, let him have it. The both of them not thinking, all right, but see, let's go half-half on this thing. No. I want it. Both are fighting. And the both of them won't think, all right, never mind, when we got one bitara brother, never mind, let him take it. No. Fighting. That habits from small, that inherent quality of the nafs, if Islah is not made of it, you will carry on fighting whole life. Whole life will carry on fighting. Wanting what's in somebody else's plate, fighting with this one, greedy for that, stingy for this, selfish for that, this thing will carry on. So the nafs inherently it has got this. Nobody has to teach the child to be that way. Automatically that nafs is there, that evil nafs, it wants that. Now this insan has to train this nafs. So train this nafs, and in the training process, the person reaches like a in-between stage, what is called lawama. So this too is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Nafs-e lawama is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So this nafs-e lawama, there's a lot of explanation to it. Someday, inshallah, some knowledgeable person will come and give you the whole explanation. But just briefly, in the lawama stage, the person is trying to be good. He knows now, you know what? I want to put myself right now. He's trying. But he still gets tempted. Now you'll hear people talking in the community. That fellow is in the front saf. In the first saf. But you know he's doing this danda, that danda. So at least we must appreciate in the front saf. Some good he got. Appreciate that part. The weaknesses he got, slowly that will get sorted out. So, I remember once, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned that one person was pointing finger, he said, yeah, these people, they got big beards, but they're doing this, they're doing that, you know. So Hazrat Allah Pak blessed him with a lot of wit. So, that chap was saying, yeah, rather don't keep beard. People with the big beards, but they're doing this and they're doing that. So Hazrat told him, Hazrat said, yeah, these people, they're doing all this, they're doing all that, they got teeth also. Rather you take your teeth out. Remove your teeth also. So, the point is that each one is trying in their own way. So some person, we don't know where he's coming from. What evil he finished give up. Maybe still having one, two habits. Right? He's trying to give it up. So this is this lawama stage. The person is trying to do good. Sometimes he's fawning. When the person is involved in drugs, so they say he relapsed. But everybody relapses in whatever their weakness is. The addict, say he relapsed. But all of us relapse. Whatever our weakness may be, right, we're trying, gave this, say, right, I'm not going to do this thing anymore now. I gave it up, cried to Allah, went for Umrah, whatever, made a sincere tawbah, right? And then a couple months down the line, he relapses. He falls down again, gets involved in that same weakness again. Then he feels bad about it. When he gets involved in the weakness, a person whose nafs is ammara bisu, Allah protect us, he doesn't care. He enjoys the evil. When he's involved in guna, he's enjoying the guna. The person who's in a lawama stage, if he commits a guna, he feels bad. He doesn't want to remain in the sin. He wants to come out of it. Right? So this is this lawama stage. A person continues like this, continues making effort, he fights the nafs, he takes guidance from a sheikh, trying this way, that way. And then slowly what happens is he has more longer periods without the gunas. Right? The relapses are becoming few and far apart. And then he reaches a stage, what is called mutma'inna, where this soul of his now is now content in good. Right? If you put him in an environment of sin, he becomes bechen, like a fish out of water. He doesn't want to be there. Right? Not to say he become masum now. Right? He can still commit a guna, but he is bechen. In an environment of guna, he doesn't want to be there. Right? In the lowama stage, he's still missing it. He came out of the movie scene, right? Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say those days, he said in the newspaper, all the new movies coming out, advertised in the, whatever is going to come on the circuit. Nowadays, I don't think people are going movies anymore. Now they're watching in the phone. In those days, people used to go movies. The old people would say bioscope. Other people say movies. Now I don't think people are going. Allah protect us all. But Hazrat used to say that in the back of the newspaper, now the ad is there. And if you had that weakness, don't read the ad. Don't let Shaitan tell you, oh, let me just check, man. Let me just check what's on the, what new came out now. Which actor took out new movie now. Let me just check. So that will be your mistake. You look at it, you'll get enticed, then a person can fall. So in the lowama stage, you still want to check. Still want to check what's happening. If you're in that environment, it's still giving some kicks, like, you know. But when a person comes in the mutma'inna stage, he's not interested in it now. Now he is more content in an environment of piety. You take him, put him in the masjid, he's content. Put him in some dini program, he's content. Give him Quran Sharif, he's waiting for Ramadan Sharif to come. Waiting, Ramadan now I can really enjoy myself. Stand, Taraweeh, Tilawat, Quran. So that is the mutma'inna stage. So that mutma'inna stage now, we'll say that that person developed the taqwa. Right? So now Allah Pak is promising him that any problem you got, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ your rosy situation you got, Allah Pak will sustain. Any difficulties you got, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. So all well and good. Now what's going to happen to me now? When we're going to reach there? Mutma'inna stage. Have that level of taqwa. But we also got problem. We need a way out of our problems. We also got worries. We need a solution to our worries. We also need rosy. How many are going to attain that high level of taqwa and get the nafs mutma'inna? But look at our beloved Allah. Our Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, so merciful. Wallahi, the more you ponder over Allah Ta'ala's mercy, it's mind-boggling. Imagine, you take a person is keeping a roza, right? Person is keeping a roza. How difficult now, from the morning till the evening, fasting, staying away from food, drink, everything. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us, At-ta'imu shakir kas-sa'imi sabir. The person who is eating, he's eating by making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. He is getting same sawab like the person who is fasting and making sabr. Because this person is acknowledging Allah Ta'ala. That person is acknowledging Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala rewards this person also, rewards that person also. So when you think about Allah Ta'ala's magnanimity, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, how Allah Ta'ala has included each and every one of us. Allah Ta'ala didn't deprive anyone. The delay is from our part. We depriving ourselves. But Allah Ta'ala has kept a place for everybody. Now you see Allah Pak is promising all these things for the person with taqwa. Right? And now you come to the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, said, Man lazim al istighfar. That person who he makes abundant istighfar. Lazim al istighfar. Making istighfar. He's asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Right? So now what's the promises on this? جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. Whatever tight spot he's in, Allah Ta'ala will find an exit for him. وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا. Whatever worries he got, problems he got, Allah Ta'ala will find a solution for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah Ta'ala will sustain him from sources that he didn't think of. The same promises that's made for the person of taqwa, the same promises being made for the person who's making istighfar. Now what is it difficult to make istighfar now? Taqwa will say now, you know, we got to take us time by time we get there. But istighfar, what's difficult to make istighfar? Istighfar is such, in one hadith sharif, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the person who reads Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh, can't remember exactly how many times it is, 3 times or something. Don't quote me on that. When asked Mawlana, inshallah, it just came to my mind now that this particular istighfar, if a person reads, so Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah Ta'ala will forgive all his gunas. Even if he had to run away from the battlefield. Even if he had to run away from the battlefield. That is such a big sin. Running away from the battlefield is a very big guna. Right? And in the commentary of that hadith sharif, Ulama mentioned that from this hadith sharif we learn that even certain kabira gunas, one is, we know that the sagira gunas, all the minor sins, they are forgiven. But even certain kabira gunas are forgiven by virtue of istighfar. Certain kabira gunas also are forgiven. Not hukukul ibad. Anything to do with hukukullah. Even kabira gunas, by virtue of istighfar, Allah Ta'ala can forgive the person. So, if you are like me, you like me, where we falling down, we take 2 steps forward, 1 step we falling backward, take 3 steps forward, 2 steps we falling backward. Then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us a prescription. Just keep asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And there's no limit to it. No limit to it. And we must never ever be deceived by shaitan that now I finish make tawbah, I finish make istighfar, how many times I'm falling, how many times Allah Pak too must be, wa na'uzu billah, tired of me. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. You know, sometimes you see in the community, a person gets involved in some weakness, right? And the parents, they keep forgiving him. Sometimes maybe the mother got a softer spot. Sometimes the father got a softer spot, right? So the family will say, his parents disappointing. If they just cut out everything, you'll see hiddo thejai. If they just cut out everything, come back. But he'll go in front of his mother, shed a couple of tears. Mother will soften, she'll give him some paya. Give him the car keys, give him this, give him that. If that is how easily a mother can melt, a father can melt, then imagine Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, who is our creator. If we go back to Allah Ta'ala, Allah is not going to forgive us. If parents can forgive, wife can forgive, sometimes a husband, what they do, the wife still forgives. Then won't Allah Ta'ala forgive? Allah Ta'ala put the sifat of forgiveness in the hearts of the parents, anybody. But how much Allah Ta'ala will forgive? So no matter how many times we falter, right, we must go back to Allah Ta'ala. We got no other door. We have to just keep going back to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is waiting to forgive us. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali gave this example. So there were 2 people. They were having a discussion. There were people that, these 2 people were having a discussion. One is saying, Who is drawing more of the attention of Allah Pak? A person who is very pious, or a person he faltered, he's making istighfar, then he falls down again, he makes istighfar again. So which one is attracting more of the attention of Allah Pak? They're both having this discussion. So one elderly person is overhearing them. So he went to them and he says, see, I can't give you that answer. That's now beyond me. But one thing I can tell you, say, I do weaving. I do weaving. And sometimes a thread snaps. So then I knot that thread. So that particular thread that I knotted, that one I got my eye on it. I got my eye on it. So when that thing is going through, I watch it carefully. Because that one got a break on it. So that banda of Allah Ta'ala, who is broken, is broken. He fell down, he woke up, he fell, he's broken. He comes to Allah Pak. There's no way Allah Ta'ala is not going to listen to him. Allah will listen to him. He will attract the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. This one Hadith Sharif, we'll conclude the talk with this Hadith Sharif and we'll make a little bit zikrullah and some dua. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He said that I know the person who will be the last to come out of Jahannam and the last to enter Jannat. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to explain. You see, he will be a person, he will come out of Jahannam crawling. Now one is the kuffar, mushrikeen, Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah keep us with iman. So for them, they have to spend eternity in Jahannam. Right? But a person, a mu'min, even with a little bit iman, as long as a person passed away with iman, Allah Ta'ala can give the person total amnesty, forgive the person. Nobody can question Allah. Allah can forgive the person unconditionally. Right? Or sometime a person will have to go to Jahannam. A mu'min doesn't go to Jahannam to get punished. Let's always remember this. The treatment to a mu'min is different. The treatment to a kafir is different. Kuffar go to Jahannam to get azab. A mu'min goes to Jahannam to get purified. A mu'min goes to Jahannam to get purified. But we don't want to go via Jahannam. We want to go direct to Jannah. But a mu'min, if he has to go to Jahannam, he's going to get purified. It's like a doctor is cutting something out of a patient, not because he doesn't like him. He wants to remove that tumor, or he wants to remove that infection or whatever. So the mu'min, if he goes to Jahannam, he's going to get purified. So this person, whatever gunas he may have had or whatever, now he's the last person to come out of Jahannam. So he will come out crawling. Crawling he will come out of Jahannam. Right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address him and Allah ta'ala will tell him that go now, enter Jannat. Go to Jannat. So it comes in the Hadith Sharif that this person will go to Jannat. And when he comes there, يُخَيَّلُ لَهُ أَنَّهَا مَلْأَى. It will be made to seem to him that Jannat is full. There's no place in Jannat. Right? So he will return to Allah Ta'ala. And he say, Ya Rab, so oh my Allah, the Jannat is full. In other words, there's no jagah for me now. There's no place there. All the place taken. So Allah Ta'ala will tell him second time, that you go enter Jannat. Right? So he will go again. Now he is complying with the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is telling him to go. He's not using his logic now. In the dunya, he's using his logic. That's what got him in the problem. Allah Pak said, you go read 5 times namaz, I'll give you rozi. He said, no, I have to see my customers, then I'll get rozi. He's using his logic. Now there he won't use his logic. Now Allah Pak is saying, no, you go enter Jannah. He won't say, but Ya Allah, I went, it's full, where am I going to fit there? No. He won't use logic. He will comply. Same time. Because now he's purified, you see. He's purified. So he will go same time. So he goes again, second time. Again, it will look to him like it's full. So he comes back to Allah Ta'ala. Right? Allah Ta'ala tells him, third time, go. So he goes, come back, Ya Allah is full. So, when I was reading this Hadith Sharif, one thought came to my mind. I'm not saying it's the tashri of the Hadith, that is for ulama to me, muhaddithin. But one thought came to my mind. I said, this person in the dunya, he may have not been making ruju in Allah. He may have not been returning to Allah Pak. Right? He was sinning. That's why he's the last person to come out of Jahannam. He wasn't turning to Allah Pak. Returning to Allah Pak. Right? When the Akhirat, he's not returning to get any guna forgiven. The gunas are forgiven. He's purified. Right? But each time he's turning back to Allah Pak. He goes to Jannat, you know, Jannat is full. He returns to Allah. Ya Allah, Jannat is full. Couple of times goes up and down, comes back to Allah. He shows us by, we got nowhere else to go. We only go back to Allah. Just go back to Allah. That's our place. So he goes back to Allah. And then eventually Allah Ta'ala tells him, that, oh my banda, say, you go to Jannat. You go to Jannat. Because for you in Jannat, there is a place 10 times the size of this world. Where are you thinking that Jannat is full? There is a place for you 10 times the size of this world. So that is what Allah Ta'ala has got in store for us. Musa alayhi salam, now going against my word now, I told you we finished, but now, Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah Pak, say, Ya Allah, the person who got the lowest stage in Jannat, you know, what is his Jannat? So Allah Ta'ala described for him, person with the lowest. So now, listening to all this description, that's for the person with the lowest Jannat. So you say, Musa alayhi salam, say, Ya Allah, so what about the person with the highest Jannat now? If this is the person with the lowest Jannat, what about the person with the highest Jannat? So Allah Ta'ala tell Musa alayhi salam, so oh Musa, that is those people who I will honor them. They Jannat are prepared with my hands. They Jannat is prepared with my hands. Their Jannat is such, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever imagined. So Allah Rabbul Izzat, make us from amongst those. Allah Pak, give us tawfiq, that we make istighfar in abundance. We develop this quality of taqwa, this love for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak, keep us with our iman intact. Allah Pak, take us with our iman intact. And Allah Ta'ala grant us entry into Jannat al-Firdaws without any reckoning.